You're listening to the HR Happy Hour Show with hosts Steve Bowes and Trish McFarland. Since 2009, the HR Happy Hour Show has been bringing you thought leaders, workplace and technology experts, academics, and more to take on the most important and interesting topics impacting work, human resources, technology, and the workplace. Learn more and listen to all the show archives at www.hrhappyhour.net. Welcome back, HR Happy Hour. What is happening? Trish McFarland, how are you?
I'm good. How are you? It's nice to be here in person with you. Right? We haven't done
it. It is nice. Yes. My name. Wait,
show?
I didn't say my name.
Say your name.
My name.
No one knows who you are. Hi, this is Trish McFarland on the HR Happy Hour show. With me today is my co-host, Steve Bowes.
How are you?
I'm good. How are
That's
you?
It's great. I'm well. It's a beautiful day. We're recording the show on a what day is it? It's a Tuesday.
Tuesday.
I was going to say Friday.
April
no,
Fool.
Because I think I had in my mind we're going to try to post it on a Friday.
We are
recording it on a Tuesday. It is April Fool's Day. It's April 1st, 2014. This is HR Happy Hour number 179. Live from the Equifax Forum 2014.
Very exciting.
We need a title for the show. We didn't come up with a title
we'll
yet.
Come
so
up with
we'll
a title.
We'll come up with a title, but... really excited to be out here in Scottsdale, Arizona. I was shoveling snow, about a foot of snow, I want to say less than 48 hours ago.
Can you believe it? Now it's in the 80s.
Now I'm in probably the most beautiful place in the world, I think.
I think we have good jobs.
So
this is fun.
It's fantastic here. So great to be here. We've got a couple of the folks from Equifax waiting in the wings, waiting to join us. But before that, Trish, quick announcements, some updates. We're doing the show here from Equifax Forum 2014. And by the way, let's talk about that for a second. The folks at Equifax know how to put on an event. Just an absolutely great event. We're going to talk about some of the things that are happening at the event, but just from the location to the opening yesterday with the sort of Native American dancers, which was really cool, and I'd never seen anything quite
very
like
unexpected.
It.
Very surprising.
And of course, then really my wheelhouse, Paul D. Podesta of Moneyball fame, and the New York Mets, who lost yesterday, and Paul D. Podesta, if you're listening. They lost their opening game, but great speech about data and sort of the Moneyball story a little bit, but also more broad themes that are relevant for HR leaders today, and just a great speaker. You love a speaker who gets up there for 45 minutes and just talks. No slides, no props, no nothing.
It was nice.
Fantastic. So that guy knows how to do it. So next week we'll be out in Las Vegas, probably doing a show from the Ultimate event out there as well. So that'll be fun. I'm heavy planning into HR Tech. We're going to hit on that a little bit in the show because our friends from Equifax are going to be a big part of HR Tech, of course.
Okay.
And spring break coming up. I can't wait for that.
Well, in a lot of places,
have you had spring break
over.
Where you live?
No, in Illinois, it's in April. So in a couple weeks, I'll be heading to sunny Florida to recuperate.
I am as well, going to Florida, different part of Florida. But,
right, I'll
looking
be full on
that.
Disney. I'm going to be all Disneyed out for like a whole week straight.
I'm doing like the long weekend Yankees-Tampa Bay Rays games with my son. That's the plan.
Good.
And I know Tampa's not supposed to be the best stadium in the world, but that's where the Yankees are playing that weekend.
Go.
So that's where we're going. And even though I'm a Mets fan. So that's a good dad right there. I could give one darn about the Yankees, quite frankly. I'm a Mets fan.
Okay.
You're talking to a St. Louis-based company.
You know.
That's right.
Yeah.
The Cardinals all the way.
I know.
Absolutely.
I think of the Cardinals as winning all the time,
no,
too.
You
but
know
that's,
I
that's
was talking with someone else,
the story for another
who was
day.
Not from St. Louis, and they said that that's one of the teams, like, pretty much everybody likes the Cardinals. You know? You
no,
don't get a lot of hatred
well,
for the Cardinals.
We'll do a separate show.
Okay. We'll
about
do a
that.
Don't forget about the Cubs. And they don't win.
I'll just say this. I think you underestimate the amount of hatred that's out there for the Cardinals.
We really don't feel it.
No.
We're very
it's out there. It's out there.
No. Not really.
The problem becomes,
unless you're in Chicago.
Now we're way off the rails. The problem is Boston Red Sox fans, right? They were lovable. They
oh,
were
no.
lovable
they're
up until
lovable.
They won, right?
Yeah.
And now they're insufferable, right? The Boston Red Sox fans are the worst fans in the world. They are the worst. Yeah. There's a little bit of that in St. Louis. There's a little bit of that. You're a little smug, a little, we do it the right way.
But that was the reason that we brought Paul in. We wanted to tie in everything they've done around Moneyball with the type of insights and data that we're bringing to HR.
Yeah. So let's let's welcome. See, Dan, you're fighting back on your protecting your Cardinals, and that's the way to go. So let's welcome our guest. We have Dan Adams, president of Equifax Workforce Solutions, defending his Cardinals.
Absolutely.
Dan, welcome back to the show.
Thank you.
And we have with him Mike Sanka, not yet defending the Cardinals, because I don't think you're a Cardinal fan.
No, Chicago Cubs.
There you go. Senior Vice President, Workforce Analytics from Equifax Workforce Solutions as well. So, Mike, welcome to the show.
Thanks
I don't
so
think
much.
You've ever been on the show before.
Thank you very much.
It's great to have you here. So, again, Dan and Mike and everyone from Equifax, thanks for having us out here and allowing us to do the show again for the second year in a row. So it's exciting for us to be here.
It's our
second annual live show from
in
the Equifax Forum.
In a different location every time.
I love it.
Tampa last year, Scottsdale this year.
Yeah, so one of the first things I wanted to hit on, Dan, which is, you made an announcement earlier in the week. Equifax has released a new product service set of information tools called Workforce Insights. I'd love for you to comment about Workforce Insights, sort of the thought processes behind it, maybe some of the data behind it as well, and then we'll get into it a little bit more, some of the specific applications of what's happening with Workforce Insights.
Yeah, so we talked a little bit about it last year that formally we had talks, we had a great company and great assets, but we hadn't done a lot of data analytics and insights, and we're all about, and we repeated it today, great companies are known for the problems they solve, not the products that they sell. So we're trying to understand data and insights around key client problems and trying to help them with better decision making around some of these bigger problems. And today I gave the example of the automotive industry and how we're trying to redefine the credit space using the work number file, which has employment and income details. And then in the HR community, we're kind of just beginning to make inroads into how you use data around some key areas, one of them being turnover. And so we have data on close to 58 million consumers, payroll data coming in on employees. Mm-hmm. There's $7 trillion of salary in the United States. We have 35% of it in our database, and we have 25% of the employees. And with that comes a large amount of information around hiring, turnover, both voluntary, involuntary, and we can break that out by salary or by hourly. And so it provides a wealth of information to mine. And last year, through Mike's help and eAuthority, we said we're going to start providing these insights and data points for clients to help them, and at the last year was really around unemployment claims,
mm-hmm.
and we wanted to move from a BPO type of unemployment claims processor into a value stream, what's causing the unemployment claims,
right.
Is my turnover higher than others in the industry, how do I know it's higher, how do I know it's lower, and the only way to do that is build out benchmarks. So for the last year, we've been building out analytical benchmarks by industry, by size of company across the U.S. so I can do comparative analysis. So when I walk into a client and they say, hey, our turnover is not bad for my industry, we're at 78%, we can very quickly say within the total peer group, you're in the upper quartile or lower quartile, and then we're quickly moving to what does a 1%, 2% improvement mean to you?
Right.
So that's really the direction we're going. So it's a lot of heavy lifting with the data, cleaning the data, analyzing the data, and then standing it up in our data store, and then visually bringing it to market. So Mike and the team are bringing those tools out. So you saw some of it today.
Right.
So turnover alone doesn't give you everything you need. The other one that we're really just fascinated with is fast turnover, which are the number, if you say, let's say you have 80% turnover in a year, what percentage of the 80% came from employees that have been in the job less than a year or less than 6 months? And the data is screaming, there's an issue. And it is an 80-20 rule. And we're finding that fast turnover is the problem. I don't have the answer on why it is. That's kind of the next work, and we're also trying to understand, is it different within industry, is it different within city, county? We're going to start drilling down to that level That'll take probably another 6 to 9 months, but we're going in that direction.
Yeah.
What I like about that, though, is, you know, thinking back when I was leading HR in a technology company, that was one of the big questions that came up time and again with the C-suite. You know, they were really wanting to dig in. We sort of knew or thought we knew that that's where the issue was, but we had no real proof to back that up. So it's not only interesting that you can have data for the leadership to see it, but the idea that in the next year possibly you'd be able to break it down into even further little bites, I think that's really going to make good business decisions. And it'll back up the HR leaders trying
absolutely.
To get things
and
done.
It has links to ACA or Affordable Care Act, the number of hours we're mm-hmm. seeing that people, when they do turnover, where do they go
mm-hmm.
by industry? Are they staying in the same industry or are they not?
Right.
And are they going for a higher salary or a higher hourly wage? And a lot of the data is suggesting that if they're on the hourly side, they're leaving for more hours. So you have mm-hmm. one dynamic occurring
right.
with the Affordable Care Act to kind of push down the number of hours under
yeah.
30. Another that says if you do that, you're going to have an unintended consequence of employees who are going to leave because they need more hours.
Yeah.
So it's a dual-edged sword.
Yeah, and I mean, that's when there's two things I sort of thought about as you were talking about this, Dan. One is, like, helping to at least answer that first question. Because a lot of times, no matter what was HR or other types of the business, you present a number, a data point, and the response back often is, and rightly so, is, well, what does that mean? Is that,
mm-hmm.
you
right.
say my voluntary turnover is 7%. That could be great.
Good.
That
bad.
Could be horrible, right?
Right.
That number by itself has no context, means nothing.
Right.
And maybe you would know last month it was 6%, went to 7%. That seems
right.
bad, but again, just even that mm-hmm. doesn't really tell you much. And that's one thing. And the next thing is really more than the next step, which I thought is fascinating, is, you know, the unintended consequences of decisions, or the likely consequences of decisions,
mm-hmm.
like you said, if you're going to chase, you're going to push hours down to try to get under some ACA ceiling,
mm-hmm. right.
well, that decision doesn't happen in a vacuum, right? And so maybe it manifests itself in increased voluntary turnover. Maybe it manifests itself in other things, too.
It
right?
could have been a legal
yeah.
risk, right? So
yeah.
litigation attorneys are now coming out and saying, hey, along the lines of ERISA, if they have a right to benefits and they were over 30 hours a week and we can prove they were over 30 hours a week and you pushed them below 30 hours a week,
mm-hmm.
you're now subject to class action lawsuits.
Right.
So it's sort of a multi-headed hydra that, you know, as you start to, you have to figure out what are you impacting? You know, what changes are you making as you start to dial in and
yeah.
begin to take action on those numbers?
Yeah, I think it's really fascinating. And you're also the larger thing, right, which I think just as someone who's, you know, in observing the space and trying to, you know, see what some of the bigger trends are. I mean, the ability of companies like Equifax, certainly, who's sitting on mountains of data, really just valuable, interesting, powerful data, being able to deliver to their clients the insights that only can come from having that much data. Right. If you're and from delivery models and other things, right, the way software is now sold and deployed is differently. But I think we might look back and say, you know, the biggest benefit of sort of the change in how HR technologies were delivered to organizations wasn't so much, okay, you don't have to have a server anymore. Right.
Right.
We focused on that for 10 years. To me, that's probably not going to be the enduring benefit of what it's going to be is things like workforce insights, right, and the ability to understand not just what you're doing, but what that means in a broader context.
And we think that drives up the adoption of the work number as well. So it's one thing, we provide a huge benefit for employers to provide access to credit for their employees, and we are absolutely redefining the credit market and moving away from credit scores to
right.
tenure. We've proven that tenure matters.
Mm-hmm.
But the HR community also wants what else can you help me with in running my team? And the other big one that we see is on the horizon is all the data is reported to us. I can tell you the titles are a mess across America.
Yeah.
There's no centralized taxonomy.
Right.
But if we can have our clients start to move toward a centralized taxonomy, almost like an SIC code
mm-hmm.
or OLAP that's being done by Department of Labor, it will open up huge the ability to drill much deeper. So it's one thing to have turnover by industry, by size,
right.
by geography, but now if I can go into job classifications or job descriptions
mm-hmm.
and look at turnover or pressures on salary or wages
right.
at that level, that will provide a whole new lift to the industry. So that's one we're working on. How would we work with our HR community to either append the job descriptions or match up as a referential file to other taxonomy, which will provide unbelievable richness
right.
of insights going forward.
Yeah.
I think that's how you'll get it there, though. I think because there are so many companies that would love to update their job descriptions and their titles, and they sort of know that they're in a mess, but they really don't have much motivation to do it. So something like this gives them that reason to say, well, you will have better insights if you go ahead and do it. You're going to get more adoption that way. So I think it'll be a big benefit.
You'd have real-time benchmarking as opposed to survey
Absolutely.
Data.
Right. Yeah. Eliminate the latency.
Yeah. Let me do a quick reset, Mike and Dan. This is HR Happy Hour, live from the Equifax Forum 2014. I keep looking out the window, and it's not because I'm bored with either of you gentlemen, but
right?
it's exceedingly gorgeous outside. But my name's Steve Bowes, Trish McFarlane, of course, with us as well. We're talking with Mike Senka and Dan Adams from Equifax. And here's what I wanted to talk about to you today. So we were here last year, not here, but we were at the Equifax Forum last year.
We were all together.
We talked certainly about the Affordable Care Act, but around this time in 2013. And I'm sort of a layman. I'm an interested but uninformed observer, right, of what's going on with our fine Affordable Care Act implementation. Is that the right way to say it?
Luckily, you know who to talk to, right?
I'm glad Mike is here, certainly, and Dan. But let's talk about that a little bit, the Affordable Care Act. Just maybe in general, just get your sort of assessment of what's happening with the Affordable Care Act. What are employers really most concerned about? What are they struggling with? And sort of how are some of the huge clients, and I say huge because we just talked to Safeway. We met some folks from Safeway out here. Something like 150,000 employees, you know, wrestling with these very real, very important, and really significant demands on their businesses. I'd love for you, Mike, to just give us a little, maybe 2 minutes on what's happening in the Affordable Care Act.
Sure, yeah. I think the biggest change was everyone thought that the Affordable Care Act was sort of a simple process, right? Oh, we either offer insurance or we don't offer insurance, or hey, we already offer insurance, it's no big deal, we don't have to deal with this. And I think they learned, oh, this was non-trivial. This was a non-trivial event. I think probably the government and a lot of state agencies learned that implementing a website around healthcare was also a non-trivial issue.
Yeah, a little bit.
And I think the complexity, the involvement, and the long-standing need for rigor and process around the Affordable Care Act, I think employers this year, and that's the big difference I think I've seen this year, is that employers are going, oh, wow, this is here. Even though we offer insurance, this is an ongoing regular part of compliance rigor for us and process. And it isn't just going to be a decision that's made in the benefits team. Boy, we thought this was HR benefits, but it turns out it's really a multi-team effort between finance, HR, benefits within HR, the IT department. There's a lot of different data that has to come together and get unified for that. So I think the biggest difference I would say is that people are starting to realize that, hey, you know, we need to get our game face on with this and make sure that we have a solid approach, I think, from both sides of the house, mm-hmm. right? Government and I think employers as well.
Yeah.
You know what I like about this, though, as complex as it is, I think for so many years we've heard HR say they want to do strategy and that compliance is tactical and it's not strategic. And I've sort of been there banging the drum for, yes, compliance can be strategic. I think what you just said demonstrates how it is, because you really do have to think about all the moving parts and how everything works together. And you have to really have a company strategy on how you're going to handle your compliance with regard to the ACA, for example. So I think that's really important for HR leaders to understand.
Yeah.
This is a really strategic part of what we do.
That's a great point. I would underscore your point of if there was a compliance issue that's related to strategy, it would be this, mm-hmm. right? Because it also has an impact of you're saying, wow, this is a big financial impact for us as a business. How are we going to relate to this? This is going to increase costs for us. We've got new reporting mechanisms. But it affects your employees, all of them, right? And how they're perceived and how they relate to this. We're not talking about a small segment of compliance
right.
that only affects employees for 2 weeks of their employment for you, or only 5% of our employees. It's really all of your employees, and how do they relate to the business, and how do they perceive your strategy of what they're doing. So it is something that, and I think we even see that in our own company, that consideration goes all the way through and in every level of the business. What are we doing about this? How do we look at it? What does it mean? How do the employees receive this information? So, yeah.
And Mike did a great job. You know, we talked about immigration reform today at our forum. We've been studying that for a year. We were studying Affordable Care Act a year and a half. I think everybody thought once the election was solidified,
right.
Everybody thought it was going to go away. It didn't. But we'd been studying it through that period, and Mike and the team were able to rally our software and our application tools and come up with a solid solution. How do I track this? Mm-hmm. How do I get my arms around it? We were so pleased at HR Tech and to get Product of the Year. And
I was going to say, and it's a solution that looks really cool, too. I mean, not for nothing. I've seen it a couple of times. And yeah.
And it's enabled through the work number.
Yeah.
So it fits with our strategy, enabled with, enabled through, because you have to use the work number to be able to get access to that data. So it's strategically a great fit for us. And then HR community is starting to use those visual tools differently, connecting dots. What else can we do with the tool?
Yeah, and certainly at HR Tech this year, not going to give it away, but you guys will be co-presenting along with one of your clients, Whole Foods Market, to talk about this and talk about the tools a little bit as well, but also talk about the strategical decisions and how you sort of, together, you're sort of helping them manage this process. So I'm excited about that.
Yeah, we're excited about it too. Whole Foods is a very progressive organization, and I think they have a really intimate relationship with their employees and how they manage benefits within those organizations, and I think this was really important for them. And so we're excited to have them as a customer. We're excited to do the presentation.
Yeah, it's so funny. I was at the. I'm not a benefits guy, really. Right? I'm not. Although
that's why you have me here.
I went to the LRP, who I work for and owns the HR Technology Conference, it also has a conference called the Health and Benefits Leadership Conference, which I attended last year.
Two weeks ago?
How many weeks ago?
All a blur. I think I saw you then, Mike. I feel like I did. I remember something about it. But the, and just, when I'm bringing this up, just not just as a commercial for that conference, which is over, although you can come next year, and the call for speaking proposals is open for that conference, because they asked me to share that tonight, we did this Ideas and Innovators session, which I was able to moderate. And just the amount of cutting-edge, interesting, innovative thinking going on around benefits, which I kind of would have thought, well, what's really that exciting here? And there was a whole gamut of really interesting, challenging ideas that got past, you know, that got right into sort of strategic decisions about what kind of business are we going to be?
Right.
What kind of relationship are we going to have with our employees? You know, what are we sort of about? And I found it really fascinating.
The most strategic work I've ever done is around benefits planning.
I'm telling you.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's got to be one of the very first things, right, that sort of that employee-employee relationship that comes up, right?
When you have the data, though, it makes it that much more exciting. I think being a practitioner for so long, I never wanted to handle benefits really to that degree. Once you start having a resource that can help you get that data, it's mind-blowing.
It's a real clear it's a real clear adjacency for us.
Yeah.
So we've been very focused on the compliance side and protecting our clients' risk, and how do we minimize the cost of compliance, making sure, and we had, you know, Homeland Security here today, who took a little bit of offense to. Well, we're trying to raise the cost for those who don't comply. But the amount of regs that are coming out of the states, it's not just for I-9. It's for unemployment claims.
Mm-hmm.
New state regs have hit in October that really amplify the need to have compliance around that piece. And then new state wage data, new regs each month are coming out around what you have to do for employees, what you have to disclose for employees, and what you have to track. So the cost is going up. So we have the data. The benefits side is fascinating to us, only because we're now getting people who come to the presentations and look at our data and our insights and go, I think we should use that for benefits.
Mm-hmm.
I really want to understand what's happening with wages and what's happening with turnover, voluntary, involuntary. So we are absolutely seeing voluntary turnover go up, which means demands for jobs are accelerating.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And we've all talked about it for a couple of years. We're finally seeing it in the data. So what are the jobs? What are the positions? Where are they going? how do I retain this great talent that I have? And we do think that we have a play there working with the HR community.
Yeah. I wrote about this on my blog recently, too, just at the macro level, right? The quit rate that the BLS tracks has been trending up for a while, and it's I can't remember exactly. It may be at that pre-recession level again,
right.
On the mat. I think it is. It may even be going up again. And it's going to present some interesting challenges for some organizations, for sure,
mm-hmm.
right? In that the market for certain types of labor is absolutely getting tighter. There's no doubt about it. And it's going to require a response, certainly, as well. But if you don't know what's coming, which I think with the insights data helps. Will help organizations say, okay, now I see this coming. It's not just hitting me all of a sudden. I can't fill five positions. I've got a little advanced warning maybe.
Mm-hmm. I think one of the next levels too in turnover is just understanding regrettable versus non-regrettable turnover. I think that's another layer in the whole process because we look at the numbers and we see the change, but at the end of the day, every organization knows when someone leaves and you go, that's going to hurt. That's going to hurt. And someone else leaves and you go, yeah, no, not such a bad thing. It's okay. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I think teasing out, but it goes to insights, right? That is another part of it, and that's integrating that data, taking that the data that we have today and combining that with additional data assets that the customers have to get a better understanding of, hey, where are you trending as a business, and where is your industry trending?
Yeah. Quick recap, this is the HR Happy Hour Show, live from Equifax Forum 2014, Scottsdale, Arizona. I'm Steve Bowes, Trish McFarland is here. We're with Dan Adams and Mike Sanka from Equifax Workforce Solutions. Trish, you know, I'm not going to get you in too much trouble, but here's what I remember, like, the last time I talked to you a lot, when you were running HR.
Right.
Like, almost every time I talk to you, like, I would say three-fourths of our conversations were about immigration.
Yeah.
We talked about it all the time. Well, you talked about it. I sort of listened. But maybe speak more broad, not just immigration, but just sort of your role, your former role, and your current role now, right, as someone who's providing insight and intelligence to the HR folks out there. Just, I know you're passionate about compliance. I want you to just talk about compliance and maybe, you know, talk with Dan and Mike a little bit about it as well.
Yeah, I think that when you're in that role, again, I think there's this vision that there are other things you can be doing that are more strategic, and not that things around performance management and developing your talent, all those things are certainly exciting and critical, but I think what I learned as I sort of went up the ranks in my career and wound up leading HR was that it was really the pain points around payroll, immigration, benefits, all the compliance that goes with it. And it was also extremely challenging working in a company that was in, at the time, 48 states, but to keep track of it all, what are the changes? And so, you know, when I started coming to Forum a couple years ago, 3 years ago now, it was like a kid in a candy store, right? So, and I know that people that
an unusual type of candy store,
right?
The compliance.
I am proud that I love compliance.
That's
because
all right.
I think that, you know, and now in this analyst role, I sort of have gotten into it with a few of the analysts because, you know, again, I think that you see the bright, shiny objects on some of these other tools and solutions out there, and that's great. But at the end of the day, if you are not solid on how you pay people, giving them benefits, and then making sure your business is compliant, I mean, those are the key areas. So I feel like you have to get that right first before you can then focus on some of these other things. And so that's sort of what I kind of preached both when I was a practitioner and now in an analyst role and online. So, again, coming to these events where you have 3, 4, 5, 6 sessions you can go to on various types of compliance, you know, hearing an opening keynote today that was all about immigration and how you go through an audit. I mean, I think a lot of people never go through the audit, so being able to take that insight back to your CEO, CFO, and say, look, this is a concern for us, and here's why, and having that data to back you up. I mean, this is why events like this, to me, are critical, that you really get that backup that you need. So if you could, you know, Dan or Mike, maybe talk a little bit about that and what you're doing with your compliance center. I know that's been a big push in these last couple years.
Yeah, so Ross and Mike can jump in. I thought it was interesting that Homeland Security and ICE said, hey, we've got a two-page form, but we have a 62-page manual on how to fill out a two-page.
There you go.
It's amazing.
Yeah, the best joke is ever. The worst manual at all is if there's a page in the manual that says how to use this manual.
Right.
If that's
right
in there, you're doomed.
Yeah. Yeah. Pre-read.
Yeah.
Read this before you read the manual.
Yeah.
So the focus we have is not trying to have just a point solution in compliance. And we've got a good I-9 product. We have a really solid tax credit incentive, a WOTC, Work Opportunity Tax Credit, location-based incentive. And we're increasingly, with the work number, which drives this, so the work number is critical. We bring that in. We know when somebody's hired. We meet the three-day deadline. But we can also look at the data in terms of where the consumer is, in terms of whether they qualify for Work Opportunity Tax Credit. Mm-hmm. So we're trying to make this, how do we make it a great user experience for the employee and build out an application that's easy for anyone to use, but really pays for the compliance. Mm-hmm. So one is a cost burden. I have to do my I-9. We're convinced after the country will move toward E-Verify in all 50 states over the next 3 to 5 years. How do we have remote I-9 type of opportunities, mm-hmm. where I don't have a location, to minimize that cost, but where I'm using my tax credits to pay for the compliance. Mm-hmm. So we're not trying to do applicant tracking, and we're not doing all the other components of some of the larger players. We're all about compliance. Right. And we're plugging and play, and we're also working with some of the other providers to say, hey, you can use our application, like our Affordable Care Act, Mike's app. We're providing that to other providers to say, if you want to take this to your client, please do. We're going to be the factory behind the scenes that brings out the best tool, the most cost-effective, and maybe in some cases even turn it into an ROI for the HR department, mm-hmm. around it's done correctly, if those applicants are screened correctly for WOTC and location-based incentives. It pays for the
service. Right.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's one of the few, maybe very few, that in these types of solutions that you can point to, mm-hmm. like what everybody loves,
profit
the hard dollars.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, and that's huge for an HR department to be able to say that and make that easy for them.
Yeah.
And that's the other key, too. I think, you know, in HR, sometimes we get so bogged down with other things. It's nice to have a place to go to where you have that backup. Sort of helping you along.
Yeah, I might have mentioned it yesterday. I don't think I did. Last night at the analyst dinner, you know, Google buys Nest, unloved product, right? So we have some unloved products, compliance and unemployment claims. Those are services people go, not a lot of people raise their hand and go, I want to be in the unemployment claims business.
You know what, though? You have some people who are very passionate about it. I would for that. So, you know, kudos to the team, because I think when you have someone who's very passionate about I-9s and passionate about the
well, we're trying to reinvent it. We know the millennials
are
using this. Everything has to be app-like.
Sure.
Everything has to be easy to use. And we can't do this the way we used to do business 5 years ago or 10 years ago.
Right.
So all of it is around the passion around making it easy, taking the risk out, and minimizing the cost for our employers.
I feel like clapping.
It's great. you met.
I mean, like, really. So that's the geek in me coming.
Well, cool.
Obviously.
You know, I think we'll probably wrap here with Dan and Mike. I know you're...
I could talk all day about
it. I know. I was going to say, I could let you go for a while. Maybe do part two of the show where you can, like, dive into, you know...
We've had many conversations on the phone about this, and then we'll get done after about an hour of me yelling at him about different things, and then we'll say, we should have recorded that.
We should do this on Camelback Mountain.
Yeah, we should.
Right.
We should have recorded
that. No, but I just, you know, obviously, we're happy to be here. The Equifax Workforce Solutions team is doing some really amazing things. I'm excited to have you guys be a part at HR Tech, of course, with Whole Foods this year. It's going to be a fantastic session. I know we'll be talking about that more during the course of the summer. So again, thanks to Dan Adams and Mike Sanka from Equifax Workforce Solutions. Thanks to our friend Pam. I won't embarrass you too much for getting this all set up.
Okay.
Outstanding job as always. Trish, what's it? So that's it for us, right? We're wrapping up. Heading to Ultimate maybe next week, and then spring break. So
I think the big announcement that we need to share. Well, we need to say that HR Evolution, we just put tickets on sale less than a week ago. It's coming up to a week, and we're getting close to selling out. I mean, this is our 7th event. It's going to be in Dallas, Texas. Symbolist is hosting us, and so definitely go to thehrevolution.org to get more information about getting your tickets. And I would imagine in the next couple of weeks, I mean, normally they're on sale for several months. I don't think we're going to make
it
that far.
Yeah, that's
year.
Exciting. November
and,
7th?
Yes, November 7th will be our tweet up. And then November 8th, which is a Saturday, we're changing it back a little bit. You know, we've loved our partnership over the last three with HR Tech, but from a timing standpoint, and obviously your role, that's we needed to move it so that we'd have adequate time to plan that. And so, yeah, Dallas, I think we're just, the location is good. It's easy to get to. And we're actually doing it in the part of Dallas called Grapevine, which is very close to the airport. Lots of reasonably priced rooms. So
love those airport locations.
That's right.
Good high quality
That's
comfort
right.
inn out
well,
there.
Well, I have to tell you though, our tweet.
You ever get stuck overnight in Detroit trying to make a connection?
No.
Oh yeah.
That's
a shout out to Lois.
Some dodgy airport hotels
Lois
there.
And Ross Melbourne. Lois, who's been a long time supporter of HR Evolution, is actually building a new home there in that area, and it will be done late summer. And she has opened her new home to us to have our tweet
that
out there.
That is fantastic.
It's going to be amazing. So.
We talked about regrettable turnover. That's going to be a regrettable decision to host that party.
Yeah, I don't know. we've always
in your brand new house.
It's sort of a conference. It's sort of an unconference.
That's
sort
work
of a
out
family reunion
really well
of all your crazy cousins. So,
well,
so
cool. So that's exciting, right? Yeah. Excited about that. And so, yeah, and HRTechConference.com, buy your tickets. I implore you. So that's it. We'll see you next time from the HR Happy Hour Show. Many thanks to Dan and Mike again.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks for listening to the HR Happy Hour Show, your source for information and conversation on work, the workplace, technology, and more. Learn more and listen to all the show archives at www.hrhappyhour.net.